Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hi, folks, you're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 130 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on January the 3rd, 2017. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Orlando universe beyond it. My name's Kevin Kessler, and I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Pete. What's going on? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas and all that other great jazz.
Indeed.
Yeah. Folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day, and we want to share that magic with you. So pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones, and let's experience the magic together. Pete?
Kevin.
How was your Christmas, my friend?
Oh, it was wonderful.
Good. So was mine. Family was down. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, our e-ticket today, we'll do a little trip report. But other than that, you know, it was kind of an uneventful holiday season. You know, Disney was crowded, as you would expect. Didn't go for New Year's
right.
Eve. What did you do for New Year's Eve?
We normally just go out for dinner. We will go and, you know, my kids have developed a taste for lobster.
Ooh.
So we
have,
like,
kids have some expensive taste there.
Well, you know, once a year we can splurge on it. And then we really just hung out at home and, you know, just spent family time.
That's awesome.
I don't really like to be out for New Year's Eve.
I don't either. I have never liked being out at New Year's Eve. I don't want to be around people. Honestly, like, it's rare that I say Happy New Year to anyone. I just don't feel like it's something to celebrate, and I feel like I'm still kind of mourning Christmas after Christmas is over.
I get that.
And I'm just kind of like, I just did Christmas. I don't have it in me for another holiday.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed the extra day off of work, but other than that. So what's going on? Is the shop, everything good with the shop and everything?
Yeah, well, it's a busy time of year for the shop, so it's,
I can imagine.
That's always kind of good.
Right.
And I took off on New Year's Day, which is like a rare, like, actual day off for me, where I actually never came to work.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to fathom. So it was nice to be able to sit home and not do much of anything.
Yeah, I'm actually coming up to the Jurs this weekend. The Jurs, that's what we're calling it.
Wow.
Now. Are you going to be? What's your schedule this weekend? Are you working on Saturday?
I'm positive I'll be here Saturday.
Okay, cool. Because I think I might be hanging out with a couple of my friends who I made through the show, and I said let's take the Two Men and the Mouse pilgrimage and go to Rogue Comics. So,
oh, exciting!
I may drop in with some people just to prove that you're real, because you know, a lot of people don't believe that. So, but we have a show to get to today, Pete. We got some news. We got an e-ticket attraction. We've got a pretty jam-packed episode of Two Men and the Mouse here for the holidays, post-holiday season. First of 2017. You all set?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Folks, the news brought to you, as always, by Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. Okay, so worldwide news. Actually, the worldwide news is interesting this week because it's more me asking you a question than it is anything else.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you how the Disney Parks parade holiday spectacular was, because I did not get a chance to watch it this year. And I've avoided talking to anybody about it because I wanted to hear your opinion on it.
It doesn't have the same flair or magic that it used to. But, I mean,
does it feel overproduced? Like, does it feel like what the vacation planning DVDs eventually became, where it was just kind of
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what it is, you know?
Like, listen, I get that it's not meant to be a parade. It's meant to be a commercial for the Disney parks. I get that. But, like, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is meant to be a commercial for NBC's yearly lineup.
Right.
But they hide it very well.
Yeah.
I feel like Disney used to hide it well, and now they're just like, you people know what this is.
You know what I was a little bummed out about?
What?
I was kind of excited this year that we were getting, like, a Thanksgiving special.
Did we get a Thanksgiving special?
Oh, yeah, we did.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, we got a Thanksgiving special. I'm like, oh, this is great, because you know what? Even though they're a little subpar, I'll take any special I can get from Disney. And then the unfortunate thing is, they pretty much just reused the Thanksgiving special and the the Christmas special
really?
Swan. Yeah.
It was like the same axe and everything? Same.
Yep.
Was
oh,
it
yeah.
clear that they filmed them on the same day?
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. And it was just a little bit of a bummer. Like, my kids were like, oh, didn't we see this already? And I'm like, yeah.
When did they air the Thanksgiving? I mean, obviously on Thanksgiving, but did they
on
air
Thanksgiving.
It? Did they air it, like, against the Macy's parade?
Oh, no, no, it was on night. It was a primetime special.
Okay. And is it still more of just like the, here's Ariana LeGrand, but guess what? Here's a whole thing about Aulani.
Yes.
Okay.
This year they did a whole thing with like families who were getting trips and you had to kind of like hear their like sad story. And
oh, it's one of those like one of those sad, like the sad stuff. Like well,
yeah.
I was laid off from the plant and Disney let us come and blah, blah, blah.
Which I don't mind all that stuff, but you know, honestly, I would just like to see more. You know,
like
I'd like to see more parade, probably.
Well,
you
I mean,
know?
Was there even a parade, or was the parade was totally in Disneyland, right?
Yeah, yeah, the parade was in Disneyland.
How'd you feel about that? I mean, being the Disneyland convert that you have become.
Oh, I don't mind. I wish there was more parade than even what we got. You know,
what kind of like floats were there? Were there still characters and stuff, or was it?
Yeah, and of course Santa and mm-hmm. stuff.
Was,
you know how they do it.
Well, what do they do from, like, Shanghai and stuff like that?
They showed the castles being lit at every, like, park.
Okay.
Which was okay, but I swear they showed it during the Thanksgiving special, too.
Probably
so that's
did.
That's what I mean. It's a little, like, it was just a lot of recycled.
Do they do the dream lights at Disneyland?
Huh. I mean, it is lit up. I don't know if they specifically brand it as the dream
lights. Do they light it up like the way they light up Cinderella Castle with the icicle lights?
It was different this year, but it is lit up like that. So I guess it's very similar.
Okay. Are they all like a Shanghai lit up like that?
Yeah.
Look at the pretty lights. Don't look at all the garbage on the ground.
Oh.
But boy, is that Pirates of the Caribbean awesome. Ignore the family defecating right outside of the line queue.
That Pirates is awesome.
Yeah. But, okay, so let's move along. Oh, worldwide news. So I wanted to give, it's not really a review, it's just kind of like something we talked about that I got a chance to use, the annual pass holder entrance. Remember, we were just kind of like, how much time is that really going to save? Let me tell you something, a lot of time.
Oh, I read one review somebody like wrote about it, and it sounded positive. So.
I mean, the line was backed up like almost to the point where you couldn't, like, you get your bag checked, but you still don't move.
Right.
And I breezed right through. It was wonderful.
Nice.
It was wonderful. I made my family wait in the line. I'm like, I am one of the elite now, so I'm going to use my elite entrance.
Oh, wow. You couldn't bring them with you?
No. Just annual pass holders.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so getting into the meat of the news. Disney Springs news. Characters in Flight is closing for a redesign.
So what does that mean?
It's closing from January 9th, reopening on the 14th. They are giving... Basically, it's going to be a new balloon, which is interesting because when I was just there recently, I was looking at Characters in Flight, and I turned to the person with me, and I was like, yeah, you know, the balloon is looking really sun-bleached.
Okay.
And then there was word that, yeah, they're taking it down. They're putting up a new balloon. They are going to theme it more in with what Disney Springs is. Like, the Characters in Flight balloon that was currently there was kind of more themed toward downtown Disney.
Right.
And they're saying this one is going to be more Disney Springs.
Okay.
Which
you
I
know
mean,
Heather won't let me go on that, right?
He won't let you go on it. Does that
no.
mean you have a desire to go on it?
You know, no, but I guess when they first opened it, I was like, oh, I feel like doing that. And she was very firm about not letting me do that.
If I'm ever going to do it, that's going to be where I do it, like a hot air balloon.
Yeah, but I think she's kind of against the hot air balloon thing.
I mean, I'm normally very against the whole concept of the hot air balloon, but this one is manned and tethered, so I'm more okay with it because I'm kind of worried that, like, you're going to get, like, a Wizard of Oz situation with the hot air balloon.
Right.
You know?
I get that.
But I mean, the other thing is, and I think the reason I will not go on it is because I have seen this thing violently blowing in the breeze before.
Really?
Oh, like I've seen it go like full tilt, like off to the side. Like I saw it blow so bad one time. I was just like, nope, never. Not going to happen.
Oh, that's awesome.
There are Groupons for, because it's not run through Disney itself. So sometimes there are Groupon deals for it. kind of like,
and you still won't go on.
Still won't go on, and even if it's cheap, just like the Coca-Cola's Orlando Eye, which actually I do plan on going on. You've seen the Orlando Eye, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think those are cool.
Apparently, it takes a full 30 minutes to go around. You could bring food. It's air-conditioned. Like, it's a whole big thing.
Here's the thing, though. How many people are in one of those little things?
I don't know. I'm assuming you could probably fit a family of 4 or 5 in there.
Oh, okay.
They look pretty big.
I know. My fear is that they would stick me in there with other people.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think they would do that.
Like, I wouldn't mind going if I knew I could, like, hang out.
And... yeah, like, I don't want, like, other people in there that I don't know.
Right. Right.
Because then, like, it takes 30 minutes to go around.
Right. That's exactly what I mean.
Yeah. Okay, so, moving along. Magic Kingdom news. You know, I'm endlessly fascinated whenever this happens. Magic Kingdom closed by reaching capacity on New Year's Eve.
Wow. Okay.
It was what they called a Phase B closing, which I had never heard of a Phase B closing before. I talked to some cast member friends, and they were just also like, yeah, what's a Phase B? So... Basically, it was like anyone that had a 1 day ticket to Magic Kingdom that had just like bought a ticket, those tickets were then being honored at other parks because you weren't allowed in Magic Kingdom. So you're Peter Mandel, you're there for just the day, you bought a 1 day Magic Kingdom ticket, they're turning you around at the toll booth and they're telling you go away. Annual pass holders, DVC members, resort guests, they could still get in, but all of like the regular people that weren't staying on property and didn't have any kind of pass to get in, or didn't have fast passes booked or dining reservations, were turned away. But then you're turned away, and then you're given like a voucher for like a quick service meal for up to like $60 or something like that, I think.
Like, what happens if you... So let's say you have one of these passes, but you have like a dining reservation.
They let you in.
Oh, okay.
If you have a dining reservation, you're allowed in. Dining reservation, fast pass plus reservations, you're allowed in. But anything else, you're not.
Interesting.
Okay, so this is some big news that came out of the... Oh, and by the way, so that closed early on, but then reopened later in the evening. Big news coming out of Magic Kingdom. This is probably the biggest news of the week. You know the Magic Kingdom Welcome Show.
Of course.
Good morning, and all that stuff, the mayor and whatnot, and the train pulls in. We love it. It's going away.
Oh, okay.
Yep. It is going to now take place. The Welcome Show will be at Cinderella Castle every morning. Because
that's not cool.
Yep, they are going to open up Main Street for a period of time before the park opens to allow you to shop, aka spend money, and eat breakfast at the Main Street Bakery, which the Main Street Bakery is already always incredibly crowded. I can't imagine what it's going to be like with hundreds of people waiting to get into the full Magic Kingdom there.
Well, I don't like it.
I don't like it either. The show then takes place at the castle where a Royal Herald comes out. And this is the thing. You're taking it away from Main Street USA. This is like one of Main Street USA's things.
Right.
Like
right.
The mayor came out, or like the last time I saw it, it was like the fire marshal.
Okay.
Came out. Like the fire marshal or the mayor will come out and welcome you. Family of the day. The family of the day then gets to come in on the train and then ride the fire truck to the castle. Now it's going to be like, oh, royals and princesses and blah, 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 and loop-de-loo. It's not going to be Main Street USA anymore. You're not going to get those Victorian-era dancers with their parasols anymore.
I just feel like it's a front-of-the-park kind of thing.
It is, but I will also play devil's advocate here, Peter Mandel, and say that I understand it. Because Magic Kingdom is now getting so crowded on a consistent 12-month, year-long basis in which... that crowd backs up to the point where sometimes like it's backed up from the gates of the Magic Kingdom down to the fair, where the resort launches are.
I believe that.
So I think it's become a safety concern.
Okay.
Which I understand. I mean, I get that. When I went for it, like I had to wait a long time to even get through the touch point. So I understand. That's what I'm saying. I don't like it, but I get it.
Yeah,
I accept it, Disney.
I'm not even a big... I don't even care about the like entry shows. Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal for me, but... So, I mean, again, yeah, not something that really affects me, but I don't know. I just feel like it should be in the front of the park.
Yeah, and again, it's one of Main Street's... like they got rid of Scoop Sanderson, the reporter who does the pin trading. Like, I just feel like so much is being taken from Main Street lately. And, I mean, recently, I don't know if I mentioned this last time, I went to Magic Kingdom recently, stayed for, like, 2 hours, and never left Main Street.
Yeah, you told me you did that.
Yeah, like literally just got a hot dog, ate, wrote a little bit on my iPad, and, you know, went into some shops and stuff like that. I love Main Street USA. It's one of my favorite areas. I just don't like seeing things be taken away from it.
Right. That makes sense.
And I get like childishly excited when I see the Main Street citizens out.
Oh yeah, I agree. They're awesome.
Like, I always got to go up to the mayor and just tell him what a bang up job I think he's doing.
Even though I didn't vote for you.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, you do a great job, but I vote along party lines. I do miss Scoop, though. There was like a big huge Save Scoop movement.
How'd that work out?
Scoop's gone. But there were people, there was like a hashtag Save Scoop. I was there one time and I saw a whole like bunch of people with Save Scoop t-shirts on taking pictures with Scoop, which I'm sure just did so much to help Scoop's chances with the company. Because you know how the company loves when their employees get involved in social media movements.
Right.
it's Walt Disney World's favorite thing in the world. Just ask Gaston. Anyway, moving along to... So, again, does this affect your willingness to go early to, like, for rope drop?
Well, I mean, you know me. Normally on a Magic Kingdom day, I'm trying to get in at that 8 a.m.
Right.
I'm trying to get that 8 a.m. breakfast, so...
And here's the thing, Peter Mandel. I feel like your 8 a.m. breakfast time alone on Main Street with those pictures is a thing of the past.
I know. That would really bum me out.
And now it makes more sense. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about how they're selling like special photo pass packages where you can get the empty Main Street picture and you're like, oh, well, I always just book the early breakfast.
Right.
They knew that this was coming.
It makes sense. I still wouldn't do that, though.
Yeah?
I still wouldn't book that crazy package. Nah.
You, Captain Photo Pass the way you are?
I mean, I love Photo Pass, but I'm okay with getting Magic Kingdom the way it is also.
I get that. My family was totally floored by PhotoPass. We'll get I'm getting ahead of myself, but all right, Epcot news. We have a new quick service location coming to the Mexico Pavilion.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's called Choza Tequila, opening in World Showcase sometime in 2017. It is an outdoor location, probably replacing the old location that closed when Frozen started up.
Right.
It will be serving margaritas, tacos, empanadas, and chips and guac.
Ooh, all things I like.
All things, except for margaritas. I don't think you like margaritas.
No, it's true.
But tacos, empanadas are very important to my life.
Empanadas are awesome.
When I lived in Jersey, there was a little bakery like two blocks away from my apartment that sold like fresh empanadas. I used to walk over in the morning and get them. It's like one of my few like nice New Jersey memories now. But I'm all for more. And this also kind of relieves some of the tension off of the quick service location there as well. Because you kind of get the same kind of food at those locations. I'm interested to see what the margarita lineup is going to be. If they're going to take any of the La Cava specialty margaritas and put them outside.
I'd imagine something, right?
Yeah, I mean, the old one kind of worked in conjunction with La Cava. So I'm wondering what it's going to be. Okay, so Animal Kingdom news. This is the last bit of news for this week. Not a lot of news. It's holiday week. What do you want from me? Churros have returned to Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Wow.
Remember, almost a year ago, back in February of 2016, they removed churros from... they removed the churros from Animal Kingdom. It became the only Walt Disney World park that did not have the signatures. Probably, I would say, the signature snack of Walt Disney World being the churro.
And we were all devastated.
So many of us were devastated. Like, you mean I have to choose between seeing a lion and having a churro? What if I wanted both? Churros are once again available. $5 a Dino Bite. And they come with chocolate sauce. Do you get the chocolate sauce with your churro, or are you just like a classic churro guy?
Classic churro.
Yeah.
The churro does not need much else.
No, I agree. And I think it's so loaded up with cinnamon and sugar that it really just kind of doesn't need like any kind of accent.
It's like the puff French toast at Crystal Palace.
No syrup required.
Oh, yeah, no syrup required. Now, if you want to tell me you use syrup, whatever, maybe I get it.
You know what, the puff French toast, I think you can use syrup, but the Tonga toast, I get weirded out when people use syrup on that.
Oh, yeah, no need for syrup for the Tonga toast, because it's wonderfully moist on the inside.
Right, exactly. All right, so that is the news this week.
All right, man, that churro news is big.
I mean, Magic Kingdom Welcome Show, be gone with you. The churro news is what you know, dominates us this week, this cycle. So, all right, folks, we are going to take a quick break. We're going to hear from the rest of our sponsors and the rest of the White Dragon Podcast Network, and we'll be back with our e-ticket attraction of the week. So stay tuned. More Two Men and the Mouse coming at you right after this.
You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier, makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
You give them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weikert autograph books.
Of course.
Well, Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weikert.
Depends how his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer. Folks, take the stress out of your life. Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse. If you and your family are taking a trip to the Orlando area this year, your little ones deserve to stroll in style. Lugging a stroller from home can be an annoying and frustrating part of the first leg of your journey, and renting those hard plastic strollers from Disney theme parks can be both costly and uncomfortable for your kids. Well, I'm here to tell you about the solution to your child transport problems, and that's Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is a Disney-featured stroller and crib provider that does exactly what you're looking for at a great price. Not only is it less expensive than renting a stroller from the theme parks themselves, but these are padded luxury models with features like drink holders, canopies, storage baskets, and more. What's more, you keep this stroller with you for your entire trip, whereas park-rented strollers, you got to return them before you leave the park that day. This is going to make those late-night post-fireworks bus stop queues so much easier, and Dad's shoulders are going to thank you for it. So, how does it work? You just go to kingdomstrollers.com and make your selection on the stroller or crib that's right for your child. Just let the good folks over there know a great time for delivery and pickup and where you'll be staying. You can pick your stroller or crib up from the luggage stand at your resort and then drop them back off there at the end of your stay. So pack light, leave your stroller at home, and save up to a whopping 50% versus park price stroller rentals when you visit kingdomstrollers.com.
Hi there, this is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy, by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, a little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
Folks, it was just the holiday season. Well, I mean, it was the holiday season everywhere, but it was also the holiday season in Walt Disney World. And I got to experience that for the first time. My family came down from New Jersey. We did a whole show about the planning of this day. But as we all know, planning and execution go two very different ways. Right, Peter Mandel?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So this week, we are taking a look at a holiday day in Walt Disney World, expectations versus reality. Okay, so going into this day, I was not sure what to expect. I have to tell you. We went on, I can say it now, we went on December the 27th.
Right.
The Tuesday, so 2 days after Christmas.
Also my wife's birthday.
Okay, very good. Didn't know that, but now that I know, I'm even happier about it. So we go on the 27th, and you know me, I want to get there early. So I wanted to get there right at 9. Turned out the park was opening at 8, but we were like, let's still go for 9. Had swapped out the Magic Kingdom Fast Passes for some Epcot Fast Passes just because I thought that was going to just probably be better for us because I didn't know how long we were going to actually be in Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
So we get to Epcot right on to Spaceship Earth. All good. My family liked it. They had a good time. I was sitting in the front of one of the cars. Both my parents are sitting behind me. And right when we get past Rome Burning, and we're right before the Sistine Chapel, and the ride stops, and my mother starts to panic.
Oh, are you riding with?
My parents.
Who are you actually sitting with?
No, it's just me. My two brothers are in another car.
Okay.
So all of a sudden it stops, and my mother's like, "What's going on? Why are we stopped?" Because now it's dark, and my mom can't handle things like that.
You immediately turn around and tell her that she broke the rut.
Yes. No, I turned around and I said, they're probably just loading someone in a wheelchair. And then all of a sudden we get the ladies and gentlemen, your time machine will begin moving immediately. And then it starts moving for a second, and then it stops again.
Oh, boy.
And she's like, that's not for a wheelchair. What's going on? Is the ride broken? Is the ride broken? What do we do if the ride's broken? And I'm like, oh, my God, Ma. So finally, I just kind of like keep talking and I keep her calm, and finally the ride starts. So after about 10 minutes or so, the ride starts to move again. And all I could think about was your story of when you were stuck on it for like 45 minutes.
Yep. Yep.
And you had to be evacuated out. And I'm like, please, please. It's the first ride of the day. We just got here. Please don't let this happen. And thankfully the ride started to move.
Okay.
So we then got on to Soarin', and my dad has severe motion sickness. Like,
right, you said he was iffy about even going.
He was very iffy about it, and like my aunt Kath doesn't do it either. Like my cousin Christopher, who works down here, his mom, they're down here all the time, and she'll do Test Track, but she won't do Soarin' because of the screen experience. Yeah, because of the screen experience.
Okay,
and my dad's just like. And I keep telling him, like, you're going to be okay. You're going to be fine. It's a very easy ride. And he just keeps saying to me, oh, I don't know. Back to the Future was, like, the worst experience of my life. And I'm like,
I get it, though. Yeah. I get that.
And I get that he got traumatized by that. Because my nana said the same exact things to me that I'm saying to him about Soarin'. Or my nana said the same thing to him back then that I'm saying to him now about Soarin'. So he doesn't believe a word I'm saying.
But Back to the Future is the old motion technology.
Yeah,
you know?
And I'm trying to explain that. I'm like, it's not even like Star Tours. It's so gentle. And so we get on it, and I can tell he's nervous, and we go up in the air. We're third row, which, first of all, I hate. And I never get third row. I always ask for first row. But with like my parents both kind of being nervous Nellies about this ride, I wanted the row that goes up. Like, I figured we got third row. It goes up the least amount. Let's just do it.
Right.
So we go up, and my family could not stop talking about Soarin'.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Could not stop talking about how awesome it was.
Yeah, I mean, even, no, you know, like something like Star Tours.
Right.
I get a little motion sickness.
I get totally sick on Star Tours.
I mean, we rode it when we were in Disneyland, and we got, you know what's so funny too? I'm like the worst at this. I find that, like, if I get like a bum Star Tours, you know, like I get like
right.
stupid pod race again, and then Coruscant for the second part. You're like, ugh. And that's what I got at Disneyland. And I mean, when I'm not into it, I am totally getting sick on that ride. And
oh
I
yeah, because Heather, you're not like getting swept up by the force.
Yeah, you're not into it. I looked at Heather and I'm like, yeah, oh, we need to do this one once today. Like, I just, that ride, just, it makes me sick sometimes.
Yeah, and especially because, like, you know, Star Tours is kind of like that one now because everything is so, you know, it's always so different. Well, except for the Jakku thing, which you're always going to get. Which, by the way, they're going to ride that Jakku thing right up until they change it for Episode 8.
Huh.
So don't worry about the pod race because you're never getting it again.
Did they add like a Rogue One element?
I don't believe so. No.
Okay. So no, they keep going. They will
be adding an Episode 8 one, but Jakku is still the one you got right now.
Really? Is it still always the first act?
It's
there?
Still always like the last time I went on it, which was granted was like a month and a half ago. You're still doing Jakku because you know me. I typically don't get a Star Tours Fast Pass, and
right,
I am on record on this very show saying never get a Star Tours Fast Pass. You need it now.
Well, when we went in Disneyland, we did not get Jakku, but when we were in Disney World in January, we did. But that was still in the window where they said every first act was pretty much going to be that.
It's in Disney World. It is still Jakku. At least every time I've gone, unless every time I go on it, I just happen to get Jakku.
Probably. I feel like I get the pod race every time.
Yeah. Well, that one good thing about getting Jakku every time is that I'm not getting the pod race. But the other bad thing is that when you get Jakku, you get the droid. You don't get the Vader opening. You get the droid opening.
Oh, I like the droid opening.
I don't. I like the I like when Darth Vader seizes control of the ship.
Yeah, but I like that the droid like sucks onto the window.
I guess, yeah, that's kind of cool. Anyway, so if you are someone you love is afraid of Soarin' because of motion sickness fears, the most motion sick man on the face of the planet went on this ride and was perfectly fine afterwards and raved about it. Like, they loved it so much.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, like, I was really happy about it. So we did that. We did Nemo.
Okay.
So I'm pretty much filling up the morning like I said I was going to.
Now, let me ask you a quick question, because I think it's funny that, you know, I can ask you this, but when I ride Nemo and we get to the part with the EAC,
yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
That totally makes me a little squeamish.
I wondered if that was going to get my dad, and apparently he didn't say anything, so I'm assuming it didn't. He did go to the bathroom right after we got off, though, so maybe it did.
And threw up violently.
Maybe. Like, maybe Soarin' didn't get him, but the EAC did.
I honestly, my daughter thinks it's so funny because I always ride that with Abby, and I usually close my eyes, and she has to tell me when it's over. It's so funny.
The EAC gets me, too. Every single time. And, like, I always feel a little woozy when I get off of it. It's the same way that the Star Tunnel in Buzz Lightyear gets me.
Huh, that doesn't get me.
Oh, that gets me worse.
Now it probably will, but...
Well, that gets me because I was stuck in it once for 20 minutes. And it's like, you feel like... And I didn't... So we're stuck in it for 20 minutes, and for the first 5 to 8 minutes, I didn't realize we were stuck.
Really?
I was just like, wow, this thing's really long. Because, like, it feels like you're moving.
Oh,
I was
so
like,
funny.
We've shot this Zerg thing like 10,000 times. It just keeps coming back for more. Because, you know, like the Zerg machine is like flying around and you shoot it in
right,
the coils
right.
and it flies around some more. Like, yeah, I totally didn't realize until the work lights came on and the safety rails came up. I didn't realize that there was anything wrong.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. I just thought it was really, really long. So then we start to go around World Showcase, things are getting more crowded. But I had a Frozen Fast Pass.
Nice. That's a score.
Yep. And my mom works as a educational aide. So she works with kids all the time, and kids love Frozen. And so she was, my mom was like so beside herself with how much she liked this ride. I got to experience the ride photo. And by the way, that is a ride photo in which nobody ever looks happy.
I wonder why. Is it positioning?
I think it's just nobody expects there to be a photo.
You know, my friend just went for the holidays and told me that, I guess, like, you know how, like, on the drops you get, like, wet a little bit?
A little bit.
And his girlfriend was, like, petrified she was going to get wet, so she put the bag up in her bag, her purse, in front of her face.
That's the picture.
For the ride photo.
Because that's the thing. You're not you think the ride's over at that point. Nobody's expecting anything. It's right after you see Marshmallow and you go down, like, a drop. That's the photo. The photo should be when you see Elsa, because everybody's always like, you know, marveling
elated
at that.
Right.
And there's like there is kind of a drop at that point too. So I figured that would have been a better spot, but whatever. I'm not an Imagineer. But for some reason, every time I see it, everybody's just kind of like, all right. Cause you know what? Nothing really like incredibly awesome is happening at that moment. You've kind of seen everything that's awesome already.
Right.
But when I asked my parents later, what was their favorite ride of the day? Like, I'm talking the whole day. My mother liked Soarin'. My dad said Frozen.
Really?
He was so impressed with this dark ride.
Now, has he seen the movie?
I think they've seen it.
I mean, because even if he hasn't, maybe the storytelling, it seems like it'd be immersive.
But it doesn't tell the story of the movie.
No, I know. But still, it gives you like a sense of character.
My dad loves audio animatronics. The Hall of Presidents and Carousel of Progress are two of his favorite things in the world.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I think to see how far the audio animatronics have come in that time,
right?
I think that was a big deal to him. And I think he really appreciated and enjoyed that.
That's cool.
Yeah, I agree. So, you know, we got through World Showcase. I'm trying to remember if we ate anything. I'm sure we had to have eaten something.
Yeah.
Oh, we had fish and chips, just like you predicted.
That makes sense.
Because my parents, all they ever want for Christmas every year is for my brothers and I to treat them out to lunch.
That's very nice.
So, yeah, we bought the fish and chips, which I said to my brother, I'm like, it would have been cheaper if we'd have taken them to an actual restaurant.
But yeah, right. For, what, you got five people there?
Yeah. Ended up being almost $100 because my brothers wanted beer and stuff like that,
right?
So but here's the thing about it. So these fish and chips, I maintain that they are fried in the center of the sun, because when you get them, they are so nuclear hot. And let me tell you something, they don't ever cool off.
Maybe there is something special to it,
like to the point where like when I threw my fries away, they were still like you had to blow on them because they were hot.
Right.
I mean, and it took a while to eat everything. So I don't know. So we did fish and chips. My dad was happy. Everybody enjoyed it. I kept trying to like get them to try new things. Like there's like a surf and turf kind of thing over in the Liberty Inn in the America Pavilion. And I kept being like, oh, yeah, surfing. It's like New York strip steak and shrimp for like $15, which I think is kind of a steal.
Yeah, depending on portion size, sure.
Yeah. So, no, nobody wanted that. So we went clockwise. We started at Mexico. We did the Peter Mandel route. So
yeah, that's the way I would go.
By the time we got to Canada, like, I'm all excited because we're getting to Canada. And my family's just like, oh, who cares? Like, it's Canada. Let's just go. And I was like, oh, God, how do I come from you people? Like,
speaking of which, I meant to say this to you. Did you see these Canada buttons?
No.
Okay, so for Canada's, like, 150th, like, anniversary, I don't even know what it is. They're doing, like, a button from now until, like, July. You have to score me one in one of your many trips.
They're doing one, they're giving them out of Disney?
Yeah. You have to go and like answer like a trivia question or something
about Canada. I totally got this.
Yeah, and they're easy. They're like cake questions.
My Canadian friends give me Canada trivia all the time. So
right, yeah, I figured you would have no.
What's the national animal of Canada? Eh? It's a beaver. He's on the nickel. Look at your nickels. My nickels have George Washington on them, the father of our country. Yours has a beaver. Just saying. But no, I kid. I love, you know me, Canada and hockey all the way.
Yeah, look, Epcot celebrates Canada's 150th birthday with special buttons. So it's a cool button. It's from now until July 1st. So if you can score one for me, I'd be thrilled.
I will score one for you.
It says while supplies last, but if they're running it from now till July,
yeah, I'm pretty sure they know they've got a supply of them. Oh, we only had 82. We're all out.
I'm positive there are going to be people out there trying to give these buttons away, and people are going to be like, no.
What do they look like?
It looks like, like the cool celebration buttons.
Like I'm celebrating?
Yeah. Except it has like a Mickey with the Canadian flag. It says celebrating Canada's 150th.
And then I was about to say, please tell me they didn't just take I'm celebrating buttons and write Canada on them.
No, but it has a spot where you can write your hometown in Canada, like if you're from Canada.
Okay, so let's pick a hometown in Canada right now.
Yeah, so you're going to have to come up with a fake hometown.
I mean, I'm totally going to be from Moose Jaw.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, totally from Moose Jaw. Are they only giving them to Canadians?
I don't think that they could do that because really how, what would they do? Like if you're not from Canada, you don't get a pin.
It's like I could walk up and actually try to pass as Canadian to the Canadians. Like, that oh, fun. Hey there, hoser.
Now the sample question they have here is what do Canadians call $1 coin?
A loony.
There you go. See? Button for you, Kevin.
Button for Kevin. There you go. Their $1 coin is a loony and their $2 coin is a toonie. So
really?
Loony and toony. I've actually had fights with my Canadian friends about the fact that our money is paper. Because their
really?
Money is like a hard plastic. Like even like their dollar bills, they're not rippable. My one friend said to me, she's like, oh yeah, I rip American money all the time, eh? And I'm like, I've never once ripped money before.
People do it. I get taped together bills all the time.
I've never pulled my money out of my pocket with such extreme vitriol that it tears in half.
Yeah, no, neither have I.
Yeah. But you know what? Maybe if I'm used to plastic money that could endure a nuclear holocaust.
Right, you would just beat up your regular bills.
Exactly. Maybe they just take their money and just kick the crud out of it.
It doesn't make sense.
We're slave to this capitalist society. Communist Canadians beating up their money. Okay, so we get through World Showcase. Now it's time to go. So now, we've accomplished everything, and thanks to Fast Passes and some good strategy, it is now, I think, 12 o'clock.
Okay.
So, we've still got a lot of day left ahead of us. So we
right.
get to Magic Kingdom, and I have never seen it like this. I never saw it that. I honestly, I don't know if I'm just forgetting, but I feel like even on the 4th of July, it was not this bad.
Really?
Yeah, it was bad.
Okay.
I had a couple things planned out, but that all ended up getting thrown out the window. We walked down Main Street, and I have all these awesome fun facts for my family all planned out. Because, I wanted to be the opening credits and all the names in the windows and blah, blah, blah. But I'm just I'm so just trying to navigate the crowds that,
Right.
So we ended up taking some PhotoPass pictures and we took what my family is hailing as the greatest family photo we've ever taken before.
Okay, that's a bold statement.
I'm hard pressed to disagree with it. It's a really good family photo.
Okay, I like that.
And they were so overjoyed that I got all the PhotoPass photos.
Look at you coming through for mom and dad.
Listen, my dad put it best. He goes, in the middle of the day, when I said successfully navigated Epcot like a champion, my mom was like, "Wow, I'm impressed." And my dad turns to me, puts his hand on my shoulder, and he goes, "You may not know a lot about a lot, but you know a lot about a little, and I appreciate that today." So I was like, "Thank you." I mean, that's as good as it's going to get. So
you might not be good for much, Kevin.
Yeah, pretty much. That was kind of the theme of the day. It was the one day during this trip where I was kind of given the reins, and to the point where one of my brothers would ask my dad a question about what we were doing, and my dad would just look at me and he'd be like, "I'm not in charge today."
Oh, it's nice.
My brother did get to go to the craft beer, the holiday craft beer place in Epcot, and that was kind of a sad experience for me, though, because as I'm sitting there waiting for them to get their beer, that's when I found out Carrie Fisher died.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, that was not a happy time.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we get to Magic Kingdom. As I said, it was really crowded. I motored them right over to Liberty Square, and just as we had planned, we caught great moments in history.
Perfect.
Yep, it was the Declaration of Independence. Everybody loved it. And at the end of the Declaration of Independence one, they kind of guilt you into going into the Hall of Presidents.
Okay.
So everybody goes in. So we sat in a packed Hall of Presidents.
I can't even imagine that.
Pete, like standing room only. Like it was let me put it to you delicately. PhilharMagic had a 45-minute wait at this point.
Okay. All right.
You know? There were no fast passes left for anything. So we do the Hall of Presidents, and then we went over and did the TTA, which, you know, everybody was just kind of like, why are we doing, like, my family didn't really get the TTA. My dad gets it, but nobody else.
Was there a line for a TTA?
Yes, but yes. And when they first saw the line for the TTA, everybody balked, but I'm like, trust me.
It moves fast.
Like, it was a line that was probably back to it. And this is one of the things, like, when it's a crowded day, the TTA is one of the things that you got to do. Because even if the line is back towards the Astro Orbiter, it's still going to move. You've probably got less than a 10-minute wait there. And on a day where Buzz Lightyear has a 95-minute wait, that is something you have to do. Like, I'm pretty sure Space Mountain at that point was in the triple digits.
Right.
To which I continuously ask myself, who is waiting on these lines?
I mean,
who's waiting for hours to go on a ride?
I think about that all the time. I mean, I see these 210-minute waits for Frozen. I'm like, who's doing that with kids?
But you know what? Then I realize it's parents who are probably never coming back. Or at least not for a year. Like, no other. We kind of live in, like, the, well, you know, like, I live in, like, the, if I don't get it this time, I'll get it next week. You live in the, if I don't get it this time, I'll get it next year. If this is, like, a once-in-a-lifetime trip, I think you're waiting on that line.
No, you're right. I mean, listen, I talk all the time about, all my friends know, like, Peter Pan is my pet peeve. I like that ride a lot, but I'm never waiting for it.
Oh, and that ride always
has a wait, and I don't get it.
And it's never a wait that's under 45 minutes. I'm never waiting 45 minutes for it.
I mean, I'll ride it. Sometimes I grab a fast pass for it, but I just, if I go my whole trip, and you know, I bet you I haven't ridden it in 3 trips, no lie. But I don't really care that much.
I get it. It's not really that. I mean, and here's the thing. Yes, it's classic, but it's really not that great.
No, it's not worth waiting 45 minutes.
No.
But maybe this is your only shot at doing it.
I would wait. I wouldn't wait 45 minutes, but I would wait. I'd wait for Small World.
How long would you wait for Small World?
20.
I would do 20.
25. Anything over 30 is unacceptable.
20 is the reasonable cap for anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, 20 is not really too bad of a wait.
No.
The problem with Small World is if you had to wait half an hour for Small World, you know, the problem isn't the waiting the half an hour. It's the knowing I normally walk on this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I come back later, is this going to be completely empty? So that's the rub on something like that.
Right. Oh, so then, you know, as we're walking through, as now we're walking through Fantasyland, and it is just so ungodly crowded that, right, like, I wanted to, like, show people, like, I wanted to be like, this circle of stones is where the tower for the, you know, the Skyway used to be, and there's a fire hydrant under this barrel outside of Peter Pan. We're literally walking by, and I'm like, there's the Beast Castle if you look past all those people. Like, just catch it out of the corner of your eye. Let's go. That's where they have pot roast mac and cheese. And my brother goes, ooh, that sounds really good. And I'm like, yeah, we're not stopping. At this point, it's a mission, because now all of my planning has now gone out the window because of how crowded it is. And now here's also where I realize Disney stamina is a thing. Like, you or me, people that do it on a fairly consistent basis. Like, my brother Dan has been to Disney, like, in the last couple of years, because he goes with me every once in a while when he comes to visit. But, like, my family has not been together in Disney in 13 years at this point. And by the time this point in the day rolls around, I mean, it's maybe 2 o'clock at this point. And they're practically crawling on the ground.
I mean, I asked you this last week off the air. I mean, I know, like, I would love for my mom to go to Disney. I know she probably couldn't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but
and
here's the thing.
Difficult.
Like, my parents were doing okay. My youngest brother, the collegiate athlete, the track star, is doing like his he limped. And like, all my mom has to see is him limp one time. And then it's like, oh, everything has to come to a screeching halt. But like, I didn't mind. Like, everybody was tired and everybody was like, but that was when I realized that Disney stamina is a real thing. Like, my brother could run circles around me if we tried to do any kind of athletic contest, but he was limping, and I was like, I could do another park.
Well, you also have, same thing for me. Like, you have Disney motivation.
Yeah, and I wasn't even wearing the Crocs, and I was fine.
I mean, when you go to Disney, like, I'm cool with whatever. Like, I'm never the person who's like, man, I'm pretty beat. It just never happens. Like, I can keep going.
Yeah.
You know, I got 6 more days of this ahead of me. Nope, still good. Let's keep going.
Mm-hmm.
I usually go home when everyone else is like, okay, listen, it's time to go.
But you know what? Knowing, like, I didn't have 6 more days of it ahead of me. And so the next day I was sore in a way that I'm not usually if I'm on a vacation.
Right.
Because the motivation was gone.
Yeah, it makes sense.
We did. So after the TTA, I made sure we did Carousel of Progress, which my father loves Carousel of Progress. So we got through that. And, you know, I noticed the same things I always noticed, that John really doesn't embrace progress as much as he, like, openly defies it.
Right.
Have you ever noticed that? Where he's just,
oh, yeah.
In every single scene where he's just kind of like, this is as good as it's going to get, folks.
Yeah, he's almost not happy about the state of things.
No, I mean, he's happy with the state of things, but he doesn't think it can go any further.
Right.
He's always just kind of like, well, enjoy it. We've reached the pinnacle of human civilization with our with you know, with our water pump on the inside of the house. With our sarsaparilla and root beer. He's always just kind of like, well, you know, or when he'll be like, these two brothers from North Carolina are trying to invent some kind of flying machine. It'll never work. I'm like, John, shouldn't you be like celebrating the progress? Like, that's the whole point. Is like, it's like, there's a great, it should just be like, there's a great big beautiful right now this very second, because it's never getting any better.
How great would it be if before they broke into song every time he was like, this is it, folks, it's not gonna get any better,
you might as well leave now, because,
and then they start singing,
because the next thing we're gonna be sitting in this exact same spot.
What's next? My dog's gonna be a robot?
Like, that'll never work. I hear now they're working on latrines that are actually inside the house. It'll never work. Or like you say, that Charles Lindbergh is trying to fly an aircraft around the world. He's gonna die. And he laughs it off, like he's predicting death for Charles Lindbergh, and he laughs it off. I digress. I love the Carousel of Progress. I hope they never get rid of it. And you know what? Like, because we actually had to wait outside for a little bit for this one, because we didn't get in. Like, when we got in the line, this has never happened before. We're like, the first theater filled up to capacity, and we had to wait for the second theater.
And your theater was like a quarter full?
No, it was probably 3/4 of the way full.
Okay.
Like, it's that busy at this point. But I got to actually watch the video that they play outside the Carousel of Progress.
Oh, I don't think I ever have.
It's you would love it, because it's a lot of Walt. It's all okay. Like Walt, like, previewing the Carousel of Progress for the World's Fair. And it's Walt, like, it's Walt sitting in the kitchen with John and Rover, like, Walt showing you how the animatronics work, and like, it's so cool. I got a big kick out of it.
While you stood there.
While I stood there and waited in the heat for the Carousel of Progress, which I never thought I would do. So we left after that. Now, we had the... And I can't take credit for this. My father is the most strategic parker you will ever meet in your life.
Okay.
And I was like... he was just like, okay, so, you know, we're going to... you know, where do you want to park? Like, yeah, we'll just take the monorail, right? I'm like, oh, no, just park at Epcot, and then we'll drive over to Magic Kingdom. And he's just like, yeah, no, I don't think that's a good idea. And then I thought about it. I'm like, okay, let's park at the Magic Kingdom. So we parked at Magic Kingdom. We got a great, great spot at the Magic Kingdom parking lot. Not great, great, but it was, like, in the Peter Pan lot, which is, like, the second lot in the Heroes section. We park in the Peter Pan lot, and then we got on the monorail and took the monorail to Epcot, and then took the monorail back to Magic Kingdom so that at the end of the day, we had a short walk back to the car. We sat in traffic for a good 20 minutes on that Disney highway getting into the Magic Kingdom parking lot.
Oh, I can imagine, yeah.
It was so backed up. And here's the thing that irritates me. It's backed up because of the toll booth, and not because people are paying, because people decide that that's the place where they need to get all their questions answered.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because it is typically the first person with a cast member badge that you are encountering. So, right. You know, that's where they get all, like, the, hey, where's Harry Potter at? Which, I've heard it so many times. So many times.
That's funny.
People being like, oh, I can't wait to get to see Harry Potter. And I'm like, well, do you want to get on a bus and go 10 miles that way? I've had people ask me before, like, oh, which park is Harry Potter in? I'm like, not this one. So... we went to Disney Springs the next night. We ate at Raglan Road.
Okay, yeah, you said you were going to do that.
Springs was obscenely crowded.
Well, this is holiday week, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but I've since they've expanded the Springs, it's been more manageable crowd-wise. Like, when I first moved there and, like, nothing was open, it was always really crowded. But, I mean, this was extreme. Raglan Road was wonderful, though.
What'd you get?
You know what? Everybody at the table laughed at me because I got the burger.
That is pretty funny.
But it was good. Like, it came on, like, an onion roll with, like, you know, like, Irish cheddar, and had little, like, gherkins on it and stuff. Like, it was really good. I thought it was a very good burger. It had, like, this tomato, like, thing on it. It was really good. Like, I really liked it a lot.
I told you, when I go, I get those, like... they're almost like, I don't know what they are. They're like deep fried, like, sausages.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. I mean, those things are not meant to be consumed by one human being.
Yes, I know. Well, everybody else at my table, and like, we were a table of like 8 to 9 people. And everybody else got, I got the burger. My youngest brother got the fish and chips. Everybody else got either, it was like a chicken pot pie, which ended up being really, really good.
Yeah, I bet that'd be good.
Or they got the shepherd's pie, which was also just out of this world phenomenal.
I feel like chicken pot pie, I whenever I hear chicken pot pie, I immediately just like associate it with like burning the roof of my mouth. I must have done it at some point in my life.
Probably.
That's
one of those like food items that tends to come out of the microwave or the oven or wherever you're making them. Like,
I think like when you take that top layer off, like the inside's really hot.
Like,
right?
Boiling hot, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and you know what? I felt really good about myself at the end of the day, Pete, because, like, you know, my dad looked at me at the end of the meal. He just said, good choice, Kev. Like, he was really impressed that I picked
him out. Man, you got some serious props from the dad on this trip.
I did. I took care of things. And, you know, and I have to thank you for that as well, because, you know, you gave me a lot of good tips that we stuck to.
Did he say anything like, you know, we want to come back in a couple years, so we'll see you then?
My cousin who lives down here gets married next December.
Okay.
So my parents, I asked them if they're going to come down for it, and they said yes. So we might do another Disney day. And that'll be early December, so it'll be more manageable.
Right. Yeah. It won't be a madhouse.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll be able to do more probably. So hopefully they'll take a couple of days and do that. So.
That sounds nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, it was a good day. It was a good Christmas. It was a good New Year. Anything Disney go on in the Mandel family house for the holidays?
You know, the best thing for us is quiet. So, right. You know, it's kind of nice that, you know, we kind of get to stay home. Although, I mean, people are constantly in and out of the house during that week just because everyone comes to see the kids.
Right, of course.
You know. So, you know, it's a good time.
All right. Well, anything else you want to add this week?
You know, I will say one of my friends just went to Disney over Christmas week. Now, ironically, it's the first time he's ever gone. And told me that Christmas in the Magic Kingdom was not crazy crowded. Did you hear this?
Christmas Day?
Yeah.
I knew that it didn't hit capacity, which is
I looked into it a little bit, and I heard all sorts of crazy rumors that between, like, the tiered passes, you know, like you have to buy, like, I guess Christmas Day pass for Magic Kingdom is really expensive.
You know what? I can kind of see that happening. And maybe that's, you know, again, revenue up, crowds down.
Right. Because I was like, you know, I planned his whole trip for him. And I was like, listen, and I know this is, you know, he went with his whole family. Like, his mom and dad went, brothers, you know. So I'm like, listen, that day, you know, you got mad expectations and know that it's going to be crazy. And I mean, he texted me pretty much bright and early that day. I was like, dude, it's not crazy here at all. And I'm like, huh, weird. But, you know, kind of makes sense.
I get it with the tier ticket system. I think that's absolutely it. And then, you know, a lot of people downgraded their annual passes to ones with blackout dates. And no matter what blackout date pass you have, that Christmas week is blacked out.
So I thought that was, I mean, I was happy for him. You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a little unexpected for me. But anyway, I did want to tell you that he went to Le Cellier actually on Christmas Eve and tried the poutine.
Oh, okay.
Because I was like, listen, everyone says you got to get this. And he said that he thought I'd be able to do it. He's like, it's not overwhelmingly cheesy.
At Le Cellier?
Yeah.
It's not cheesy at all.
You know, I don't like cheese.
I know you don't like cheese. The world cheese knows curds. You don't like cheese, but yeah.
So I feel like maybe next time I'm going to have to give this a shot.
And I mean, even if you got the one in Springs, the cheese is very, you can eat around the cheese and your family can have the cheese. That was another thing, by the way. We got poutine at Disney Springs and my family went, like, my dad was looking up, like, recipes on how to, like, make the gravy himself. And, like I have a family of poutine eaters now.
Huh. Well, I'm next time I go, I'm going to give it a shot.
You should definitely give it a shot. And my dad was like, I was explaining how, like, this is a thing in Canada. I'm like, they have poutine in their McDonald's and Taco Bell. And he was just like, I've gone to Canada a million times. I've never experienced this. I said, well, you're not looking very hard then.
Right.
But, yeah, so I think, honestly, especially if you're having, like, the red wine reduction truffle poutine at Le Cellier, I think you're good.
Yep. It's going to get done.
It's fantastic, and you'll really enjoy it. All right. Oh, and one last thing before we break for today. Usually I talk about this at the beginning of the show. Figured I'd end the show with it this week. Please, folks, thank you all so much to everyone that's donated over to our good friend Mikey Weisenhunt's family with their fundraiser for their son, Boston, who is, you know, currently battling Hodgkin's lymphoma for the third time. So please, folks, if you were, you know, thinking about giving money to the show or anything to the Patreon or something like that, I urge you to please instead go over and give whatever you were planning on donating over to them, because they can really use it and it's for a very good cause. I will give you that URL right now. It's over at youcaring.com. So you're going to youcaring.com and just search for Strong for Boston for Michael Weisenhunt. And anything you guys can give would be amazing. We have a goal of $1,000. We have currently raised $795, Peter Mandel.
Nice.
I'm in awe. And there's actually a picture of Boston up there with a sign that says thank you for the support. So you guys, you know, when you do something like that, you're really, you know, you're helping shape the life of a young man who really, you know, really deserves all of our support. So thank you guys so much for that, and I hope you guys will continue to do that in the future. All right, so you about ready to head out of here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, that's going to do it for Two Men and the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you guys so much for, you know, humoring me a little bit and letting me talk about my trip with my family. I really like, you know, being able to give trip reports. I think that's one of the things I enjoy the most on the show, is being able to share memories with all of you guys and with UP. I think that's one of the things that we really dig on the show the most.
Awesome. I like it too.
Yeah. And folks, for Pete, please check him out at Rogue Comics over there in Cranford, New Jersey, like I'm going to be doing this weekend.
Nice.
Over there at 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016. Or check out roguecomics.com, where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. If you're planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Adventures by Disney, any Disney resort throughout the known world, or Aulani in Hawaii, or Universal Orlando Resort, please check out our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel. Send him an email, DisneyDaveW@Verizon.com. now. And if, folks, if you are renting a crib or stroller on your next Walt Disney World vacation, please check out kingdomstrollers.com. They will deliver the crib or stroller of your dreams right to your Disney resort. I mean, they're waiting for you, and they'll pick it up when you're done with your vacation. And for me, folks, please check out Rocinante. It's flying off the shelves, Pete, the virtual shelves.
Nice. So, I like hearing that.
Yep, doing real well. The paperback edition is now available. If you're interested in a signed paperback, please send me a message on Facebook or over at my Facebook author page, which is facebook.com/KevinJKesslerAuthor, and I can get one of those out to you in a few weeks' time. Also, I have a big announcement that's actually coming the day that this drops. My novella, which takes place between Rocinante Books 1 and 2, called Rocinante, The Decimation of Cassid, will be out on January the 17th, so just 2 weeks. We just did it. We did a cover reveal and everything, Pete. So the next...
Nice.
Yep. It's a short story. It's about 17,000 words. It's going to be, you know, 99 cents. We'll have a little paperback available probably for like $4.99 or something like that. But, you know, pre-order will be up soon. So keep up on my social media, facebook.com/KevinJKesslerAuthor or on Twitter @KevinJKessler and Instagram @WhiteDragonPN for more information. All right. Well, that does it for this week. Pete, any closing words?
No, excited to do a show next week.
Very excited. Folks, please keep the magic alive every day of your lives. We will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.